grace. The book of Romans, chapter number 5 this morning. Romans chapter number 5. And we'll continue our thoughts here in the book of Romans. And I've enjoyed our time when the Lord gives us liberty to preach out of the book of Romans. Now, me and Brother Rich was talking around the breakfast table this morning. This is an outline that I preached here in 2018 on a Wednesday night. And when I got to this text, I was going to restudy it and rework it. And this, I don't mean this in a prideful statement, but I outlined it so well last time, and like what I had wrote down, I was like, I ain't going to change nothing. And so I did adjust the alliteration just a little bit. Y'all don't remember what I said last Sunday, much less what I said 3 years ago. So I can preach and it'll be fine. But I've actually been preaching this on the road some lately too. And so it's fresh in my heart. And I appreciate the Lord letting us get in this text this morning. Don't forget the service tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to have the baby shower for Brother Dominic and Miss Leah and Asher and little Lydia after the service tonight. Brother Michael will make that announcement. But we do need you to bring food. And amen. You can't have a baby shower without food. What's the point? Amen. I mean, they get stuff, but what do we get out of it? We need to eat, amen. We have to have something to eat while they're watching opening gifts, amen. So let's have a good time of fellowship tonight. But let's pull up to God's table for a little while and get some spiritual food. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, now I can't just read that verse. I got to go back and say what it's there for. So let's go back to chapter 4, verse 25. Who is delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So therefore, in light of Calvary, being justified by faith, we have. What do we have? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without Christ and strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The book of Romans, Paul's making a case. He's laying out a courtroom scene, and he has come to the conclusion, chapter 3, that we all guilty. But then in beginning around verse number 24, 25 of chapter 3 begins to, even though we're guilty, there is grace and there is justification found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And beginning in the middle of chapter 3 into chapter number 5, he begins to expound upon the reality and the joy of justification. And it is the fact that we are justified by faith. Without the deeds of the law, it's not what we do, it's not what we can accomplish in and without ourselves, but we are justified by faith. I love this in verse 25 of chapter 4, who was delivered for our offenses, not his, but our. And he was raised for our justification. He did not need to be offered for his offenses, he had none. He did not need to be raised again for his justification. He did not need it. But he was delivered for my offenses. And he was delivered for your offenses. And he was raised again for your justification. And he was raised again for my justification. And chapter 5 is directly connected to chapter 4. He says in light of that, therefore, since Calvary's taken place, since we have experienced the death, the burial, and the resurrection, there's the gospel. In light of the gospel, therefore being justified by faith, I'm interested in these two words, we have. Now, the night I got saved, I didn't know all I was getting. I just didn't want to go to hell. Somebody say amen right there. And that's a good reason to get saved, not wanting to go to hell. But I did not realize all that was available to me the night I got saved. I didn't realize that my blinded eyes were being opened. I didn't realize that the leprous spots were being cleansed from off of me. I didn't realize I was like Lazarus, dead in a tomb, but I heard the voice of God call out my name, and I was raised from death unto life. I just didn't want to go to hell. I just wanted to go to heaven and be with Jesus one day. But I tell you this, since I've been saved and since I've been reading this Bible and studying, I have found out that I got much more than I ever could have asked for. I just didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. But you know what? I have found by reading this Bible, I got the best end of the deal that night I got saved. Because since I have been justified by faith, I not only get to go to heaven when I die, but I have been reconciled unto God. I have been accepted into the Beloved. I am on my way to heaven, but I got a little heaven in my heart on the journey. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have. In Atlanta, Georgia, there is a restaurant that I love to eat at called The Varsity. Anybody ever heard of The Varsity? All right, Mike and Sheila and Eric, they know about it. And you know what you go to the bar? It's a hot dog joint. Hot dogs, hamburgers, and you can't get in there after a Braves game or a Falcons game. Well, nobody even goes to watch the Falcons play anymore. But when the Falcons were good, you couldn't get in there after a game. And it's been on the Food Network. And the way it got started was there was it's right across the street from Georgia Tech. And this family sent their boy to Georgia Tech to go to college and was sending him money to pay his tuition. Well, he flunked the first class, so he quit college. But he didn't tell his mom and dad. He kept taking the money. He went and bought a hot dog stand. Now it's a multi-million-dollar business. True story. But you go to the Varsity. I love taking people who's never been to the Varsity. Because you get in line at the Varsity, and you're standing back here, and you get up to your time to order. They'll say, what do you have? What do you have? And if you, like, stutter or so, they'll look at the guy behind you and say, he don't know what he wants. What do you have? What do you have? And they keep you moving. Well, you know, when you got saved, you got a, what do you have? You got more than what you ever could have dreamed. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have. What do you have, Paul? Number one, I have a sweet peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, you remember the absence of peace in your life? The Bible said they're the wicked, there is no peace. I tell you, there's people around here today, they're looking for peace in alcohol, looking for peace in drugs, looking for peace in an immoral lifestyle, but they won't never find peace. You know why? There's no peace to the wicked. There's no peace living out in the world. There's no peace that the world has to offer you. There's the absence of peace. But I love this. There is the acquisition of peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know how I got this peace? I got it by faith. In fact, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You're not going to get saved unless you get saved by faith. You're not going to do anything for God unless you do it by faith. You're not going to please God unless you do it by faith. And you won't never have peace in your life until you shuck all your religion and get rid of all the things you're holding on to. And you come to God on the basis of the gospel and on the basis of the blood and say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The acquisition of peace. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, according to Colossians 1:20, the way that we get peace with God is through the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. The reason I have peace in my heart this morning is not because of the church I joined, not because of the life that I live, but it's because I put my faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. I put my faith in the gospel of what Jesus did for me at Calvary, and therefore being justified by faith, I have peace with God. If this is one thing I've been hitting on the road hard lately, it's this one truth. Salvation is not trusting a preacher. Salvation is not trusting a prayer. Salvation is not trusting a place. Salvation is not trusting a profession. Salvation is not trusting a parent. Salvation is not trusting your emotions. Salvation is putting your faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if, amen, if you don't come to God by faith, you will not come to God on the basis of the gospel. There's so many people struggling with their salvation. I know I preach on this a lot, but it needs to be dealt with. There's a lot of people struggling with their salvation, and they don't know if they're saved or not. I'll tell you, if you ever come to God by faith, and you put all your faith and trust in Him, and say, God, I'm trusting You, sink or swim, live or die, hell or high water, You all I've got, You're all I need. I'll tell you, if you ever came to Christ, honey, He took you. Amen. He said, Him that comes unto Me, I will in no wise cast out. I say it over and over again. What are you trusting in for your salvation? You trusting in church membership? I hope you're not trusting in that here. It don't get you much around here. Amen. I'm telling you, the acquisition of peace is by faith. There's the attributes of peace. We have peace with God in this text. That deals with the salvation of our peace. There's the peace of God taught in Philippians 4, and that is security in our peace. And then there is the God of peace in 1 Corinthians 14, Philippians 4, and Romans 16, and that deals with the source of our peace. Everybody wants peace. They're looking for something to settle the raging in their soul, but they're looking for peace in this world. They're trying to get peace in the Middle East. They're trying to get all that, but there ain't going to be no peace till the Prince of Peace gets here. And I tell you this morning, we as the people of God can have a sweet peace. How do you have such peace in hard times? Therefore, being justified by faith. Can I just say this? You're not taking it the wrong way. Getting saved will fix a lot of problems. I know some people, not necessarily here, but I know some people, they always just got something going on. Can't never get nothing, no venture, no nothing. You know what? I made one guy mad. I said, you just probably tell that dude to get saved. I ain't saying you getting saved will fix all your problems as far as you'll have money in the bank, you won't ever get sick, all that. But I tell you, getting saved does fix a lot of things. Right. And a lot of people, they just ain't never been saved. Yeah. They ain't never put their faith and trust in Christ. They're trusting what mama said or what daddy said, or what the Sunday school teacher said, or what the preacher said, or what the church said, or because they got the baptism. Yeah, you can be baptized so many times down in the creek that the tadpoles know your social security number. Yeah. That don't save you. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I am, and I know y'all are tired of me riding hobby horses, but I detest men that try to just get people to run through a prayer so they can run up there. I detest that. Just repeat a little prayer so they can put a notch in their gun belt. That ain't salvation. That ain't biblical. I tell you, so I said, well, we see more people saved than you do. You might, but I want to make sure the ones I preach to know they're saved, amen. I like what James Langston said. The best thing about being alive is being saved, and the second best thing is knowing it. What good is it if you made a profession, but you don't know if you got peace with God or not? I'm telling you, that Bible that teaches salvation also teaches there is security and there is peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get that peace? Therefore, being justified by faith. By the way, that's my title if you ain't picked up on it yet. What do you have, preacher? Sweet peace. Number two, a saintly privilege. Look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, since I've been justified by faith, I don't only have sweet peace, but I have a saintly privilege. I have an entrance. He said, we have access. I wish I had somebody. I have access into this grace. Amen. I have been welcomed in. I have been shown in. Amen. I've been welcomed into this place. Thursday night, I have been asked to give the invocation at the Lincoln Reagan dinner. Somebody said, what's the invocation? That means they want me to pray. I don't know why they didn't say pray, but it's a whole lot easier to spell. The guy said, would you give the invocation? I said, hang on. I said, what is invocation? He said, leading prayer. I said, yeah, I can do that. And it's a big wig thing. I mean, they're going to be politicians there and going to be senators there and the big wigs of Rowan County's Republican Party. And I'm honored to be there, and I'm going to be there. Oh, boy. We're going to have a time. And I'm honored to do that. But it's like $75 a ticket to get in. I'm like, man, for that, you can go to watch the Braves play the playoffs. Come on now. Yeah, I mean. But it's to raise money, and I'm on. But you know what? They ain't going to let me in Because I don't have a ticket. I do not have a ticket. But here's what the man told me. When you get there, just give him your name. Yours has been taken care of. And I will be granted, and my wife will be granted entrance and access into that place. Where, not that I couldn't, I just wouldn't pay that much to go in. If I don't pay that much, somebody's going to be kicking a ball somewhere. Somebody say amen, all right? I'm just telling you. But I'm going to be welcomed in and have access into that place because somebody else paid the price. Amen. I will be welcomed. And they said, we got you a table. You're going to be sitting with Senator so-and-so. I guess I better look him up and make sure I like the guy. I think I voted for him. You're going to be sitting with this fella and all that. And I'm going to be brought to the table. And I'm going to be sitting with people that I have really nothing in common with. In society, they have a higher standing. But I got in. And I tell you, you may feel like you're not worthy, but we're not here because you're worthy. We're here tonight, this morning, because somebody else paid the price and gave us access into this grace. I was reading John Phillips this morning. He said a little boy once stood outside the gates of Buckingham Palace in London. He wanted to talk to the king, but was sternly repulsed by the guard at the gate. He rubbed his hands to his cheek to wipe away his tears. And just then along came a well-dressed man who asked the little fella to explain his trouble. When he heard the story, the man smiled and said, "Here, son, hold on to my hand. I'll get you in. Just never mind those soldiers." The little boy took the hand of that man to his surprise and saw the soldiers leap to attention and present arms at his newfound friend. Past the guard, he was led along the carpeted halls through the wide-flung doors, through a grinning throng of people right up to the throne of the king. Little did he know, he had taken the hand of the Prince of Wales. And what that, I wish I had somebody right there. That boy wanted to get to the king, but he couldn't. Oh, but the king's son came by and took him by the hand. And he wasn't stopped because he's with him. Amen. You think about that thief on the cross. He gets to paradise. The first man saved on this side of Calvary. And probably people know him. How's somebody like you? You robbed me. Get somewhere like this, they just say. Yeah. See that man? He's the only reason I'm here. And I tell you, when we get to heaven, the only reason we'll be there is because we have a saintly privilege. There's our entrance. There's our experience wherein we stand. We can pray. We have access to go to God in prayer and call out to Him. Our expectancy and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. One day, that verse is teaching, one day we will physically stand in the presence of God in glory. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Y'all still with me? Therefore, being justified by faith, what do we have? Sweet peace. Saintly privilege. Look at verse 3 and 4. I love this now. We have a spiritual perspective. Watch this now. And not only so, he said, we don't have just, not just that. But wait, there's more. But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that our tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now that's weird. We glory in tribulations. Now I ain't talking about the great tribulation. The word tribulation, they're talking about pressure, trouble, trials, difficulties. But how do you glory in trouble? How do you glory in trials, therefore being justified by faith? Watch this now. Things might get bad, but we still saved. Things might get rough, but we're still justified by faith. And I'm telling you, honey, there's some bad things that can happen in this world, and I'm not welcome any of them things into my life. I don't want any of them. I know they'll probably happen because that's the way life goes. But honey, there ain't nothing that can take my soul. There ain't nothing that can send me to hell. You know why? I can have a spiritual perspective because I have been justified by faith. Have a view of help. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Have a view of help. I was reminded of this week. In the past several weeks, I do not know what people do without the Lord. I don't know what people do. Thankfully, I'll never know what people do without the Lord. Well, that should have blessed you. You ever heard of a preacher? I just don't know how they're handling that without God. Thank God, you'll never know. You know why? You have a view of help. You have a view of hope. Peace and experience, hope. When we live this life for God by faith, we will learn some things that God gives us, and experience produces our hope. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that experience is the nurse of faith. I love this little verse in Hebrews. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I preached this before, but I was reminded, it's been a while, and I was reminded of this morning. You know, an anchor does, you know, an anchor's not working when it's on top side of the boat. When it's laying there on top of the boat, it ain't doing nobody any good. People walk by and look at it and say, boy, that's a nice anchor you got. Not me. I don't think anybody's ever said that. Boy, look at that anchor. People admire it, but it ain't doing nobody any good. An anchor ain't doing any good till it gets in the deep. And an anchor ain't doing anybody any good till it gets in the dark. Watch this now. And an anchor ain't doing you any good until it disappears. Preacher, I don't see God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because He's in the deep places. And He's in the dark places. And that's where you want your anchor at. It's down there, locked into the rock. Preacher, can't find God. Don't worry. You can't see the anchor when it's doing its best work either. But I'm telling you, honey, when you can't find God and you don't know where God's at, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You know what Paul said? It's sure and it's steadfast. Paul said we can't see it, but I know it's there. You know why? Because the storm blew, but I'm still on board. And the winds came, but I'm still on board. This hope I have is an anchor of the soul. And he said, and the forerunner entereth within the veil. In other words, that anchor's attached. What they do and then bring them ships in, they'd cast out that anchor. You know what then they do? It'd draw that ship ashore. They'd have almost like a winch on them ships. Pull them big ships in, they'd cast that anchor out real far and then turn that winch on. And even before they had the electronics, they'd have that wheel. What were they doing? That anchor was pulling them to the shore. And I tell you, when Jesus saved us, He put the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. He is the anchor of the soul. And the other end of it is in heaven. You know what every day's happening? He's pulling us closer. He's pulling us closer. And every day we're there, we're getting closer and closer to the other side. Help, preacher, how do you have peace? How do you have such a spiritual perspective? Therefore, being justified by faith. I know, and let me say this. You can be saved and still get rattled by the world. But I'm telling you, you ain't got to be rattled. People said, things are bad, preacher. Yeah, they are. Sure. What I hear. I hear it's pretty bad. But you know what? I got a spiritual perspective. I got a view of help, view of hope, view of heaven. He said, we got to keep on going. Because I already preached that, but heaven's not far away. It's drawing us closer. Noah's Ark. Let's ask Bible questions. How many doors was in Noah's Ark? One. Where was it at? It's on the side. That's exactly right. I love, it's a great picture of the gospel. The ant went through the same door the elephant went through. Everybody gets in the same way. But then, how many windows did the ark have? Contrary to your nursery pictures, it didn't have 25 windows and giraffes out with handkerchiefs. But bon voyage, you know. I like one fellow said, why in the world do we decorate kids' nurseries with a story of Noah where God kills the earth? Really don't make sense, does it? Here, let's paint some dead people over here on these rocks trying to get away, you know. Don't make sense, does it? I mean, it really don't. I grew up in church. I sit and think like, why did they do that? You know, never understood that. One window in the ark. Where was it at? Up top. Why wasn't it in the side? Because Noah didn't need to see what was going on around him. Some of y'all missed that. Noah, the window wasn't in the side because Noah didn't need to go out and see all everything's going on around him. Well, what could he see? God. Noah, it's bad out there. He said, really? What do you do 4 days, 4 nights? If I'm in there with a bunch of animals and all the women griping about it, I'm getting close to the window as I can. Say amen right there. Noah, people died out there. You don't say. I don't say nothing. I just see God. Did you hear what happened out there, Noah? Uh-uh. Did you see that, Noah? Uh-uh. What do you see? See God sending rain down. By the way, he didn't go out to the side. He went out to the top. You know why he kept his eyes up top? That's where he is heading in a little while. And I tell you, child of God, how to have a spiritual perspective. Quit looking out the side window, looking around what's going on. Keep your eyes up on Jesus, because pretty soon we're headed out that way. We have a sweet pea, saintly privilege, spiritual perspective. We have a seen passion. Look at verse 5. I'm almost done. And hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This same passion teaches us we're not ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed. You ain't got to drop your head and shuffle your feet and be ashamed you're a born-again Christian. I ain't talking about being proud or being cocky or arrogant. You know me better than that. But don't be ashamed. Paul said, I ain't ashamed of the God. He didn't say, I ain't. If he'd been around here, he would have. He said, I am not ashamed. But if he'd been around here, he said, I ain't ashamed of the gospel. Amen. It is the power of God and the salvation. Everyone believes to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You ain't got to say, he said, I'm not ashamed. But then, watch this now. He says, we have an affection because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. He said, I have a love that I didn't have. Think about this about Paul. He killed people. But now he's doing everything to keep people from dying and going to hell. You know why? Because when he got saved, when he got justified by faith, he had the love of God shed abroad in his heart. But then it gets better. We're not ashamed, we have an affection, but we're not alone by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. It is, in the book of Acts, they call it the gift of the Holy Ghost. We don't use that term much, the charismatics has stole it from us, that's right. But the Holy Ghost is a gift to us that God's given to us. He said the Holy Ghost was given. Why do we have the Spirit of God? He comforts us. He chastens us. He challenges us. He directs us in the course we should walk. We're not alone. How'd you get that, preacher? Therefore, being justified by faith. We have sweet peace. We have a saintly privilege. Spiritual perspective. Sure pardon. Here's the last one. I'm done. A same passion. Here's the last one. A sure pardon. Verse 6, 7, and 8. There's our condition in verse 6. For when were we without strength in due time? The word phrase without strength means we couldn't save ourselves. Hopelessly lost. Remember when you was like that? Our condition, our condemnation, verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. The word scarcely here means rarely or barely. So for a righteous man, it's very rare that someone would die for them. For a good man, some would even dare to die. That leaves us all out. Because we ain't righteous and we ain't good. Paul said in Romans 3, there is none good, no, not one. See what Paul's saying? You are condemned. There is no hope for you. But there's our consolation. Verse 8, but God. Ain't you glad God butted in? When nobody else loves you, nobody else would die for you. God butted in. But God commendeth. The word commendeth means to put on display. Commendeth his love toward us. And that while, I love this little phrase, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Never embarrass you for anything in this world. But while you were a drunk, he loved you. I'd never embarrass you while you were running the streets. Christ died. While I was in religion. Which is just as bad as all of it. Because alcohol will send you to hell just like religion will send you to hell. I told him at the funeral Friday, people said, I just ain't a religion preacher. I said, I ain't either. I ain't in a religion. I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion may keep you out of jail, but it won't keep you out of hell. But while we were in our sins, Christ died for us. I love that little phrase. While we were yet sinners. Remember who's writing this book? I'm done. Remember who's writing this? Paul. One of Paul's got a little tremble in his voice. While I was killing Christians. While I was kicking against the pricks. While I had letters in my hand, I was going to do my religious zealot deed. He said, Christ died for the ungodly. But we went and heard Brother Dean preach about a month ago, and he made this statement. Paul said, he said, this is faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He made this statement. Was Paul really the chief? Was he really the worst sinner it's ever been? Paul felt like he was. Paul felt like he was the worst sinner ever been. Paul said, I'll tell you this. If he can save me, there ain't nobody he can't save. There's nobody that's gone too far, done too. I understand people sending away their day of grace. I understand all of that. But Paul said, I was the chief. And if he can save the chief, excuse me for Indigenous People Day tomorrow, but if he can save the chief, he can save the Indians. He can save anybody that'll come to him. How? By faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, what do you have? You have sweet peace, a saintly privilege, a spiritual perspective, a sane passion, a sure pardon. Come on, Grace, I'm done. I was preaching this down at Brother Shelton's the other week. Preaching on Tuesday night, and a lady come out the door. And I was about, you know, shaking hands, whatever. And she said, thank you for preaching that message. She said, I forgot what I had. She said, I'm a school teacher. She said, I had a student bring a gun to school yesterday. I had a child tell me this morning that he was molested. She said, I was feeling sorry for myself. But therefore, being justified by faith. I tell you, you get looking around at this world, it'll get you down in the dumps. But I hope Romans 5, 1 through 8 this morning has reminded you, you've got more than what you think you have by faith. Let's stand together. I preached 30 minutes, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you just need to be reminded of these truths today. I know they've encouraged my heart. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is so easy to become distracted by all the things around us.